Jeff, Jeff, Jeff. Jeff, 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 Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff. J-E-F-F, Jeff, Jeff, Jeff.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Jeff, it's the Matt McNeil Jeff, Show. Jeff Stein's our national and presidential expert, noted author, perfect for the holiday gift giving. Go find his books over at Next Chapter Books, totallyiowa.com. The Iowa Business Report is his weekly show down there, weekly daily show down there. And of course, the Iowa Politics Report comes to us from KXEL, Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Jeff, hello, sir.
It's a weekly show. It's a daily show. You cannot avoid the Iowa Business Report.
It knows where you live.
You think Santa knows what's going on? Oh, no. Hashtag IBR knows what you're doing. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. You had a nice Thanksgiving?
Yeah. I mean, I basically had the obligatory midday ramen noodles and the frozen pizza for the evening. And, it was very nice. Very nice.
Oh, I love holidays for working in Iowa radio. I have many stories.
Yes, yes. And they all are still true every single day.
I never even knew Norelco made a coffee pot. I'm sorry.
Your former boss's name came up today, by the way. Don't mind us, audience.
It's okay. They're here for us. And we were out doing a live broadcast. Where were we at today?
Actually, at the Sullivan Brothers, and folks may remember the story of the five Sullivan Brothers who died in a common calamity during World War II. They're from Waterloo, Iowa, and the Sullivan Brothers Iowa Veterans Museum facility, which is a fantastic facility, is just up the road. And so we hosted an event, and we had 14 different authors of various young works, science fiction, history, I mean, just a whole variety of things. And we had a little author fair up there at the museum so people could come in and meet authors and get their books signed. And one of the authors is a good friend of one of your former bosses in Iowa, and we just left it at that. We acknowledged that we both knew her, and we were done.
My name came up, lots of swearing ensued, and off you went. Well, that's very cool. And by the way, you mentioned the Sullivan Brothers. There was the basis for Saving Private Ryan. Was that the basis for that movie?
Absolutely right. Yeah.
Jeff, I want to – we had – speaking of name dropping, President Biden was in town yesterday. I was nowhere near him while he spoke over in the southeast side of town. But he was
– is this true? There were two men in sunglasses and dark suits that monitored the door to the room in which you were tied to a chair just to make sure?
No comment. Okay. you mean the advance team from the White House? Yes, they were here. Lovely. Okay, good, Chet good. And John, they're just great guys. We went out for some loose meat sandwiches afterwards. So, yeah, I enjoyed seeing them.
Yes.
He's in town. I want to bring up something, and you have talked about this, the way politics works. Mm-hmm. It's two things. Once you have already lost the fight, don't keep trying to win the fight because you've already lost. The second thing you've always brought up is that politics is generally won on kitchen table issues, bread and butter issues. And you know, the infrastructure bill, as Republicans have voiced their opinion, they didn't vote for it. They passed it. It's going to bring a lot of money out into Minnesota and across the country. It's going to rebuild a lot of infrastructure in this country. Not nearly enough, but a good start. Broadband, water treatment facilities. This is a good thing. I was listening to the Republicans do their, obligatory rip on Biden for showing up, and they kept going after this. And I'm just sort of like, do you guys realize how kind of dumb it is for you guys at this point to be complaining about the infrastructure bill, which you're going to try to be taking credit for when they build that road in your district?
This is the worst bill ever. It would be horrible if it passed. Let me attend the ribbon cutting.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly.
That's what it is. Now, there's a situation, and I try to point this out whenever someone is complaining about the bill. Donald Trump, you remember him. I'm old enough to remember when Donald Trump wanted an infrastructure bill of a Republican-controlled House and Senate and wanted $2 trillion for it. And all the Republicans thought it was a great idea, but they couldn't get quite all their ducks in a row to pass it because some of them didn't want Trump to have a victory, showing you the state of the Republican Party. All right, so all of a sudden, it's a cheaper infrastructure bill. And why are people dead set against it? All right, I understand the fact that we had COVID kind of jump in here and throw the budget out of whack, and we've spent trillions of dollars on that. But does that mean we don't have the money for this anymore? Because of the fact, I mean, it's all borrowed money. And if you can make the justification for waterways, internet, highways, all of the traditional infrastructure, the amount of money being spent on that is less than what Trump had suggested. Yet the average Republican who feels like they are in tune with things says there were 13 members of the Senate, 19 members of the House who are traitors for voting what, and watch this name drop. I'm going to top you on this. What Senator Joseph Lieberman on my program called a public works bill.
Wow.
You're welcome.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
You.
But you know, it's an interesting thing because, again, this is, I mean, he makes a good point that I'm not smart enough to think of. This stuff used to be called public works.
Yes.
And everybody was in favor of it because they wanted the naming opportunity. And so you don't care if it's a good bill because it was Trump and a bad bill because it was Biden. I don't know that I see that. What I see is bad bridges, bad roads, supply chain issues because the Mississippi River cannot be navigable as it should. Then if this in any way helps for the future, isn't that how we rebuild? I don't care who gets the credit. I don't care what you call it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it true that there was some pork in it because Nancy Pelosi was in charge? Yes, but there would have been the other side's pork if a Republican had been in charge.
They had the chance.
And they had the chance.
Yes.
Exactly. With, by the way, higher levels of majority, larger majorities in each chamber than the Democrats have. So, the fact that they separated the two bills, hard infrastructure from soft infrastructure, that certain Republicans who actually had a little forward thinking, the cover that they needed. Vote for roads and bridges. Don't vote for green energy or whatever the split happens to be. But again, politics is covering everything, and it is. And who's getting harmed, Matt? It's the American people.
You bring up the fact that there were multiple Republicans that voted for this bill, which should just tell you enough about what was in that bill. And here's the real trick that who is a Republican from Nebraska that voted for the bill? Is it Cobart or whatever? I can't remember his name.
I don't know.
Nebraska 4. But he
I didn't mean to be so dismissive.
Some guy over there. But he voted for the bill. When you look at this bill, it is a bit, Biden's very good at this. It is a bit of a precision attack, that broadband specifically. That's rural America. And if all of a sudden you can take broadband, and the guy in Nebraska saw that, and he was not a fool, he jumped on board. You can go on out there and you put broadband out in areas that can't even get a good internet signal right now to save themselves, you are going to be beloved, and I don't care what your letter is next to your name. And Biden knew that, and even though it was just the hard infrastructure, as you mentioned, that was a precision hit that will come back. I mean, if I'm the Republicans, I'm just ignore this at this point. You lost. I would even say avoid any of the ribbon cuttings because the first thing people are going to be saying is, didn't you vote against this? And I just say, just walk away. You were foolish enough not to jump on board. You deserve you can't really fight this fight anymore. And if the only option they really have is actually to ignore this actually happened.
It just goes back, and I don't like making everything about what I know, but I know that I have a senator in my state who's up for re-election next year who voted, a Republican who voted for the bill, and he's getting all sorts of back talk from Republicans, and he said, look, for 5 years, everywhere I went, people said, infrastructure, infrastructure, you got to pass infrastructure. So I passed infrastructure. What's the problem? Okay. It's one of these things where I don't care what the party affiliation is, to your point. You got to call out inconsistency and hypocrisy. Mm-hmm. Hypocrisy, because if you claimed you were for infrastructure, but now you're not, what's the intervening circumstance? Now, there are some who say it's COVID and the amount of government spending. Okay, you can try to make that point. I'm not sure it's saleable, but you can try to at least make that point. But when your best argument is, well, Trump's idea was Trump's and Biden's is Biden's, and that's why I'm voting this way. I don't care which way you're voting. That's bad for the country.
I think it was a guy from one of the representatives from Virginia. I think it was Virginia. He was a Democrat, and he was talking about why I voted for this bill. And a Republican went out there and said, oh, this is a bad bill. And he just picked out a map and apparently had every substandard bridge in Virginia. And he says, you tell me which bridges we're not going to replace. And that Republican ran from that one as fast as he could. You know, and
well, right. You know, I mean, it's a matter of, again, we all want the conveniences that an active government can provide. We may not want to pay for them.
Yeah.
And we may not like the fact that somebody else is getting something and we're not. But, you know, again, you made such an excellent point on rural broadband. We didn't know how bad in some areas the internet was until everybody started working from home. And even in some suburbs.
Yes.
The internet was not robust enough for mom and dad to work from home while the kids were doing school from home. And so when you start talking about areas in a rural state of 25, 45, 50,000 people who said, man, our internet's really bad. Okay, that tells us that is just as much infrastructure as the actual asphalt road. And you have to address it or you're going to fall behind. And we already are behind.
Well, and broadband specifically, yeah, you're right. Helps with school, helps with work. But then all of a sudden they're streaming Hawkeye on Disney Plus, and that doesn't hurt either. The fact that all of a sudden the feeling of you know, the modern conveniences actually being available to you, no matter where you are, border to border in any state. You know, it's like I said, that was a pretty slick move by the White House to make sure that was included, because that's going to, I think, help in the long run Democrats start to, you know, at least maybe start to work their way back into some of these rural areas.
Well, there's no question. But again, everything is local.
Yes.
And I have to admit, as we discussed, I was a little bit out of pocket today. Was it known earlier today, or is this brand new, that Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker is not running for reelection?
I did not hear that one myself. That's a new one for me.
Okay. All right. That's CNN right now. And so that is a Republican governor in a very blue state, Massachusetts. So for all of these Republicans, now I don't know, maybe he's claiming, you know, I've done it enough. I was always for term limits. My family needs me. I have no idea. I have a big cushy job lined up outside of, I don't know. But let's just go with what it would look like on the surface. For everybody who said, oh, look at 2021, it's a red wave, just wait for 2022 and 2024, et cetera, et cetera. You got a Republican governor in Massachusetts saying, I'm good. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they point to all of the Democrats, and there have been many who are retiring from Congress. I don't know that it's more than in any other year. Certainly when you talk about redistricting, it changes the dynamic. So here's the Republicans' great hope in New England saying, somebody else deal with this. What does that tell you?
Well, and you bring up, how about this whole thing between Mace and Green, where it's getting ugly? And, you know, and Mace really is kind of representing the kind of more traditional swearing Republicans, while Green is kind of representing the more far right swearing Republicans. You brought up the fact that they couldn't pass the infrastructure bill because there was infighting within their own party. What we're now starting to see is you brought in these people that want to watch the world burn. And that's what you get with Boebert and Madison Crawford and Green and Getz and all these people. You bring in these people who don't want to have a successful government so that they can burn the whole thing down. And then they're acting surprised that their little tyrants are getting along with everyone else in their own party.
Okay, so here's the minority leader. Here's McCarthy.
Yes.
He brings the two of them together and says, ladies, let us play nice in the sandbox. Remember Ronald Reagan said, thou shalt not speak ill of another Republican, commandment number 11. And the moment that he got done with that meeting, and I think I have the chronology right, they had that meeting, then Green goes on a nationally syndicated show and compares Nancy Mace, Nancy Pelosi, they're really the same person. Which leads Mace to then call into the show to be on the next hour for her shot at Green, who's talking about how she's a threat to the democracy. Get popcorn. Well, I mean, you know,
the best was May says, well, I'm going to talk with, and she did not saying this, I'm going to like run to my, she goes, we obviously need to sit down with the McCarthy and work this out. And Green, who took that as a, I'm going to your boss, says, I've called my dad, AKA Donald Trump, and I was talking with him. And it's kind of like, wow, this really is, you guys are not very good at this, are you? But here they are.
This escalated in a hurry, as they say. Right.
Well, and then on top of it, you've got Boebert and this whole thing with Ilhan Omar where, you know, she gets caught saying that on camera and then, of course, doesn't really apologize. You know, it gives Ilhan Omar the ability to say, well, yeah, I hung up on her, which, you know, that was pretty solid. But then but then you find out that this has been her running shtick at these fundraisers. You know, the speech, you and I know about this, politicians, they have that speech in the back pocket they need to pull out every time they do it. And it's part of that speech. And she has done this, I guarantee it's not just two times. She's probably said this thing a bunch of times. And now all of a sudden, you've got a real big problem because this is Islamophobia, xenophobia, bigotry, just right out there and unapologetic as it is.
Argue policy. Don't argue personality. And that is the problem with this. I was having a conversation. Oh, I wish I could remember with who. But your name did not come up by name. But here's why. All right. I dig a hole. This is promo material. Get ready. Make sure this is rolling. Okay. We were talking about various programs. And the person that I was speaking to, I was a couple, and they were right of center. But what they said was they enjoyed shows where the hosts could banter back and forth and not agree on everything. And they mentioned the old Hannity and Colm show on Fox. And it's like, well, you didn't have to agree with either one, but they had, and this was the point, and this is how you came up, respectful discussions, even if they didn't agree on everything. And they said, well, you just don't find that anymore. And I said, well, you really don't. I'm blessed to be part of an example where you and I may not get along, but we have an intelligent discussion, and we get along. And if we don't agree, we'll talk about something again next week. But when the idea is nothing more than talking points, if I came here with nothing other than the talking points that I just pulled off of the email that I got from the central authority, it's bad radio. It's not good for the public. People just listening to what they want to listen to. How about a good, respectful conversation on issues? But the stuff about all the personality stuff, it just shows they're not serious as individuals.
They want to watch the world burn. That's what these people, they are not there. They're there for themselves and the adulation that they get from their fans because these are, and I'll say it bluntly, they're 20-time losers that have finally been validated because they managed to get elected because they happened to become the Republican by being the most far crazy person in a far crazy right district. And they're in love with themselves. And so this is going to be, the Republican Party has got a really big problem heading into next year because
And I know you need to take a break, but here's the only thing I would question or challenge what you said.
Yes.
I don't think they're thinking it through. In other words, you said they want to watch it burn. I don't think they're thinking about that. They're only thinking about the other half of what you said, which is, I got my viral video clip. This is going to be good to help raise money. I'm going to get reelected from a new district. That's as far as they're thinking. They're not thinking about the ramifications and whether it burns down because they're so focused on themselves.
They're putting the lit match in their own pocket. All right, now let's take a break. Come on back. Mark Meadows, some interesting revelations from him. When we do return, it's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff Stein joining us for his usual Wednesday visit. Jeff, Mark Meadows, who I did not think was the type of guy that was going to try to hog the spotlight, indeed is. Not only has he agreed to testify before the 1-6 Commission, but then he releases a pretty big bombshell that right before, was it the second debate with Biden? He had tested positive for COVID, but they did not say anything to anyone. Now, it did, to be fair, they did retest him with a more accurate test, and he came back negative, but still. Yeah, that's, once again, not a sign of a great leader during a pandemic.
The concept of a false positive followed by a negative, that alone would not bother you just simply because, again, of the accuracy of the second test. The second test was more accurate. Okay. But now you hear in this forthcoming memoir from Meadows that Trump didn't look good. He didn't sound good. His color wasn't good. And then when you find out that he was supposed to have been tested at the debate site, like right before you meet the other guy, and they didn't test him. They did not test him because he showed up late. And Chris Wallace of Fox News, who was the moderator, pointed out Trump was not tested because he arrived late. Everyone relied on the honor system. 3 days later, Trump is positive and with a case that required significant hospitalization and treatment. So if you just took it of, okay, he was positive, then he was negative, and okay, that happens. That doesn't worry me. It's all the rest of it, right down to we don't want to take a chance of a test because we don't want to know what the result's going to be.
He met with Gold Star families, wealthy donors at a Minnesota fundraiser. White House staff, crews of the Air Force One. I mean, this was, and what it was he just did not want to make it seem like he was weak in any way. So he jeopardized the health and well-being of a lot of people. This is pre-vaccine, we should mention as well.
Oh, absolutely. It was October.
Yeah.
And again, as you recall, he was taken by helicopter to Walter Reed and was unsteady. I don't know that the symptoms come on that quickly.
No.
And so did he have it all along? Did they say, well, we got one negative test. It is better to ask for forgiveness than permission, and we'll just test after the debate.
You
hope that's not the case.
And you remember, they were so on the attack after people said, well, you had this no mask required White House ceremony where then they started circling the people in the crowd that got sick. And the people like, and he was pretty close to the president. You know, once again, it is a case where it was just bad management. But then you find out that, obviously jeopardizing Joe Biden, who thankfully wore a mask that entire time. I mean, a very serious allegation.
Oh, without question. I mean, it's the kind of thing that it could have impacted the outcome of the whole election, quite honestly.
If you do not have Jeff Stein's books, once again, fantastic stocking stuffers. If you need them for the holidays, go to nextchapterbooks.totallyiowa.com. We'll spotlight this interview. Jeff, we'll get the Iowa Politics Report up a little bit later on. Thank you very much, my friend.
Have a good week, sir.
Take care. We'll take a break. Come on back. Hour two up next.